사랑하는 성도 여러분, 디모데후서 3장 16절에는
Dear brothers and sisters, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 20 and 21 also tell us, But know this fact of all, that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, but for prophecy was clear ever made by an act of human will, but man moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The Bible mentions in Isaiah chapter 34 verse 16 that God's mouth commanded and His Spirit gathered, and not one will be missing nor will lack. God, who is Spirit, recorded the parables relating to life in this world so people could understand it. In order to correctly ascertain God's meaning, you have to interpret the words with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. No matter how many times you've read the Bible, there are spiritual meanings that cannot be interpreted literally. For example, John chapter 6 verse 53 tells us, So Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in yourselves. If you were to literally interpret Jesus' words, how absurd would it sound? Where would you go now to get the body and blood of Jesus? Even if there are His blood and flesh, how could we physically eat them? John chapter 3 verse 3 writes, Jesus answered and said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If we interpreted this statement just literally, we'd have a question as Nicodemus had in John chapter 3 verse 4, How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 16 warns us, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction. Literal interpretations don't make sense, nor they can be life-giving. If you spiritually interpret the words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you can have awakening and overflow with joy and grace. These can become rooted as faith and help you gain the fullness, life, and strength. At our church, the late shepherd offered many God-pleasing prayers and fasts. From the opening of the church, God has explained numerous spiritual words in detail that people have otherwise not been able to decipher or understand. A number of difficult Bible passages were explained and secrets of the spiritual realm were revealed. This is why there are many pastors, workers, and church members who long for the words of life all over the world. May you all listen with a longing heart and accept God's words with Amen. I pray in our Lord's name that you make bread of all the words and receive great strength. Matthew chapter 13 verse 34 says, All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and He did not speak to them without a parable. Jesus taught with examples that were easy for people to understand. Today's passage also features a parable from Jesus to His disciples. Despite it being a parable, people were unable to clearly interpret the words nor properly understand the spiritual meaning behind it, which led to all sorts of different interpretations. Today, we will focus on this parable. The first verse of today's passage tells us there was a rich man who had a manager and this manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. The rich man refers to Jesus Christ, our Lord. The manager who squandered his master's possessions, namely the unrighteous manager, signifies the hired shepherd. Squandering the master's possessions means failing to look after the flock entrusted by the Lord and preventing them from achieving perfect faith. Losing the flock is a given. So, who are hired shepherds? They work for wages as a pastor and consider being a servant of the Lord simply as having a job. They are those who have a misconception that servants of the Lord will be served and receive lots of money. Through today's words, Jesus comprehensively explained the meaning of a hired shepherd. He referred to the pastors who are unable to care for the flock entrusted by the Lord, nor help them attain true faith, as the manager who squandered his master's possessions. A servant of the Lord has a natural duty to properly care for the flock and lead them into the Lord's bosom till the end. But those who don't dedicate themselves or lead their flock in true faith and spirit will see God's wrath. That's why just not everyone can become a servant of the Lord. We have to be... Just because you keep your faith, individual faith well, that doesn't mean you are a servant of the Lord. You have to lead other people well, and we have to lead them to beautiful heaven. You have to guide them to advance to better dwelling places in heaven. This is the duty of a servant of the Lord. These words don't just apply to the servants of the Lord. If the flock under the care of church workers became weaker, lose grace and the fullness, and stagnate in faith, the church workers are also like the manager squandering his master's possessions. If you love God, you will cherish your God-given duties, and you will cherish the God's children bought by the blood of the Lord, and you don't want to live and lose even one of them. You will help those novice believers to become true believers. You will care for them, visit them, and pray for them. Those unable to carry out the duties from the Lord and cause God's work to be delayed or hindered as a result are like the manager who squanders the manager's possessions. They don't consider the most important duty of the in God's kingdom is the managing souls. So this message also focuses on the managing the souls. There are also people who are like Levi workers. They don't care for the souls directly, but they do their duties regarding the management of the church. If they cannot do their job well, they are also squandering the master's possessions. In your mission groups or district, you have your duties. You have to check how you are carrying out your duties. How much you cherish your duties, you have to examine. They don't consider the duties or possessions from the Lord as precious, but are like the hired shepherds with a purpose of being served, getting honor, or gaining power. You have to carry out your duties with love of God. If you just hold on to your duties, then you are... Though these hired shepherds can teach, they cannot truly help people to grow spiritually, nor have the capability to do so. The Lord says to the manager who squandered his master's possessions in verse 2, And he called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an accounting of your management, for you can no longer be manager." This is similar to Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. "Therefore, remember from where you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent." No matter how zealous and loyal they were in the beginning, those who lost their initial stance and don't feel the need to restore nor repent are told that the Lord will remove their lampstand out of its place. As said to the unrighteous manager, "You can no longer be manager." In this situation, the manager thinks in the following verse. Verse 3 writes, "The manager said himself, 'What shall I do since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg.'" Rather than trying to repent and turn back, the manager worries about the situation after his position is taken away. His solution was as follows, verses 4 through 7. "I know what I shall do, so that when I'm removed from the management, people will welcome me into their homes." And he summoned each one of his master's debtors, and he began saying to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" And he said, 100 measure of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. The unrighteous manager indulged and casually canceled the debt all to his master, not to himself. He figured that after he was dismissed from the position in the future, he'd receive help from those he extended kindness to. When the master found out, he was writing off the debt, and he thought that he would later go to their houses and ask for help, and he had this in mind. When the master found out, the manager must have been seen as even more disgraceful. But the first half of verse 8 reads, "His master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly." The manager actually did not do it was a wrong act, but the Bible says that he acted shrewdly. What does that mean? The master didn't rebuke the manager for his deplorable actions, but praised him instead. Therein lies a spiritual meaning. Dear brothers and sisters, the master's debtors spiritually refers to those who have not yet accepted Jesus Christ nor gained salvation, the ones who are still burdened with sin. When the manager forgave some of their debts, it meant not being able to cancel the debts fully, that they didn't achieve complete salvation. It indicates that even higher shepherds teach their flock about Jesus Christ, the Savior, the way of salvation, telling them that salvation can be achieved only by believing in Jesus Christ. Even higher shepherds have knowledge-based faith and can teach the way of salvation through their knowledge. In the eyes of our Lord, it's likened to a manager canceling the debts of those indebted to his master in little steps. Dear brothers and sisters, the importance of, as you listen to the message, you have to listen to the message to the end. You have to listen to this message to the end. I'm now explaining the nowadays, Father God, Father God is saying that even those higher shepherds, actually those higher shepherds are not praiseworthy. We have to think, dear brothers and sisters, the importance of meeting the right guide in our religious life is crucial. If you meet a wrong guide, it may be like a blind man leading a blind man, and both will fall into a pit. If you meet a right guide who can clearly show the way to heaven, you can step closer to the Lord. Our Lord desires at least one more soul to reach salvation. Though the manager is a hired shepherd, the master praises him for teaching the way of salvation to the flock. But this is not a complete compliment. This is because the hired shepherd does not circumcise his own heart, nor live according to the word, despite teaching. While they themselves have to change, they don't, and they cannot reach spiritual levels. This is similar to the priests, the Pharisees, and the scribes acting as hypocrites during Jesus' time. As written in Matthew chapter 23, verse 3, Jesus said, "Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them." Likewise, as for a higher shepherd, his deeds of teaching the way of salvation are praiseworthy and his words are correct, but he cannot be fully praised as there are no actions that accompany the word. The latter part of verse 8 notes, "For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light." This does not mean that the sons of this world are wiser than the sons of light. It means that when looking at the actions of the unrighteous manager who used his own wisdom, the sons of this age, otherwise known as the world of darkness, considers it to be wise. Dear brothers and sisters, the sons of light refers to people who don't compromise with the world under any circumstances, those who only act and teach according to God's word and His will. These people experience great works taking place as they believe and teach the Word of God from the 66 books of the Bible. Works of healing and works of power, including the signs and wonders recorded in the Bible, are manifested. So are the spiritual phenomena recorded in the Bible. By testifying that the events recorded in the Bible are still happening after thousands of years, they are guiding the flock so that they can lead a religious life with firm faith and hope. And they help them live more in the Word and in the light. But today, what do people say about such servants of the Lord? There are people who call their ministry mysticism, or worse, heresy. Then, who do the sons of this age refer to? These are the people who teach about Jesus Christ and share the basic Christian way of salvation, but are conscious of other people and their surroundings. Instead of choosing what's right from God's perspective, they compromise with the world. Among Christians are people who compromise with the world. Though they share the Word of God, they teach only as much as they believe within the limits of human intellect. These people cannot manifest God's works to the fullest. And if their members experience something they haven't experienced yet, they don't let them share it. They testify about God only within the extent they can avoid clashing with people in the world and even join them when necessary. To the people of this generation, this seems to be a wise example of adapting to today's era. those who correctly convey God's will and show God's works of power are seen as somewhat strange and foolish. But God considers it unwise to compromise with the world and not show His works of power simply because you are afraid of the world. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28 says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." As written in the verse, God considers those who never compromise with the world and those labeled as heretics or part of mysticism to be wise. A true servant worthy of God's recognition must not just teach people the way of salvation, but also lead them into perfect faith. You need to also become a servant who can bring down God's works. To do this, you must first circumcise the heart, change into spirit, and set a good example through your deeds. We have to proclaim the word, and as a worker or as a servant, we have to act by the word. And then those who hear our words will be more than able, will be. But if you just teach and not act, Father God would not give the power to the message. So the awakenings will be less and awake. But if you teach and do things, then the Holy Spirit will guarantee your words, and those who hear your words will have an awakening and change them and repent, and they will receive strength to do according to the word. So this is very important, the duty of the teachers of the word of God. You have to do according to the word. Servants of this kind are truly wise and worthy of praise from God. Next, verse 9 writes, "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into the eternal dwellings." This means that even if someone is unrighteous, if you open the way for them to turn back, help them transform, and lead them into perfect faith, they will reach heaven and receive you. This means that even if someone is unrighteous, rather than cutting off people who are not right and still living in the flesh in light of the truth and accusing them of their lack of faith, you have to embrace them until the end. Jesus bore with Judas Iscariot until the end and had mercy on him. Moses also didn't give up on his people who left Egypt, even though they kept complaining. He prayed for them to the point of risking his own life before God. If we encourage the people who lack faith and go against God's will with love, prayer, and patience, they can be changed. In the future, they will welcome and receive you in heaven. How grateful will they be for your love and grace? When you go to heaven, you will be very thankful for the person who guided you to the church. And then, and you also, you will be thankful for those people who care for you spiritually. You have your cell leaders, you have district leaders, and you have your pastors, and you received their help, and they helped you to pray, they helped you to solve your problems. They help you, prevented you from falling into temptation through counseling, and they helped you get you back up. You have those people who helped you. In heaven, you will. But sometimes you also complain against those who help you spiritually, and you have a lot of demands for them. So you have to. Research workers have to embrace them, they have to take much interest in them, they have to devote themselves that way, and let's say those people whom you took care of, you whom you care for, let's say he ends up in a better good dwelling place in heaven, then he will be very thankful for you. Those people will be very thankful for the pastors and church workers who took care of them. How grateful will they be for your love and grace? It's important to embrace everyone, not just associate with the ones you prefer. Even if someone has aspects that are not in line with your heart or not to your liking in your spiritual level, even if he has some unrighteous areas in God's sight, it's important to lead him to salvation through Jesus Christ. Whether he is saved or not is up to God. You shouldn't think, he cannot be saved. I just give up on him. You don't have such rights. God is only the judge. It is the job of God. Let's say someone does something obviously deprives him of salvation. Even so, we have to embrace them and help them and pray for them so that he can be saved. And we have to embrace them with a regretful heart. That way we can broaden our heart. This is the process of human cultivation. If we just cut off everyone who are like that, if we just declare them ones who will not be saved, then we make ourselves God ourselves. As I told you, even if someone is not in line with your thoughts, even if someone is obviously deviated from the truth, still we have to intercede for them, pray for them. We have to sometimes admonish them, pray for them. You shouldn't cut them off, but you have to help them and lead them. Then you are contributing to the expansion of God's kingdom, and those people will finally be changed, and in heaven they will be very grateful to you in heaven. Shouldn't we all go to heaven and enter New Jerusalem? This can be achieved if we have the heart of our Lord, who bears with and loves us to the end, and values saving one soul more than anything. Then you can, let's say someone is like an unrighteous manager, you have to embrace them and help them to be saved and repent by giving them guidance. You can also are on the shortcut to entering New Jerusalem. You should not evaluate others, but you have to go hand in hand with them to New Jerusalem, and that way you can gain the qualification to enter New Jerusalem. May you all become such workers who bring comfort and joy to our God, saddened by the lack of good workers during the harvest season. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters, we who have been saved can be referred to as managers in charge of the Lord's possessions. In order to avoid becoming an unrighteous manager who squanders his master's possessions, we must lead others under our charge as well as ourselves into faith completely. This can be achieved by circumcising our hearts. By transforming ourselves into spirit, we should be able to teach others. Instead of just teaching with our mouths, it's important for us to set a good example through deeds and manifest the works of God. This way, we can turn into a true servant and worker recognized by God, even if people in this world can't comprehend it. We go beyond teaching the way of salvation. Our words can change people and guide them to complete faith. The most important thing in this process is to embrace even those who are still lacking and those who sometimes go against God's will. Instead of viewing others through the lens of our own faith, righteousness, and perspective, it's important for us to treat everyone with love and patience with the heart of the Lord who loved Judas Iscariot until the end, despite knowing about the betrayal. If we think a person is wrong in light of the truth, God is the only one who can judge righteously. The Lord wants us to embrace each person with love. When we can do so, we can embrace the world and serve as an ark of salvation that leads countless people to salvation. Through today's word, I pray in the name of the Lord that you will all become faithful stewards who can increase the master's possessions day after day. May you become good stewards who resemble the heart of the Lord, earn His praise, and bring joy to Him.
Hallelujah! Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu, go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skin fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.